Live. Good morning, I'm Gemma Barth. The Abbott government is expected to deliver a dramatic rise in childcare fees. Wilson Smith has the details.
Despite promises to address the rising costs of childcare, new figures show fees are expected to soar by 30% over 4 years. The Telegraph reports that'll force many families to hit the rebate cap of $15,000 and be forced off government assistance. The blowout is expected to increase the pressure on new Social Services Minister Scott Morrison to consider means testing childcare assistance to help low and middle income families. Wilson Smith, Macquarie National News.
A man is fighting for his life in hospital as his alleged attacker prepares to face court, accused of punching him in the back of the head. The 24-year-old victim is in a critical condition in hospital after allegedly being attacked in Erina on the Central Coast. A 22-year-old man from Long Jetty has been charged and refused bail to appear in court today. Police are hunting for a man who entered a Petersham hotel with a sawn-off rifle before firing a shot through a glass panel. The man threatened a security guard and patrons before being pushed out a door. Senior Constable Lauren Maher says he then fired a shot, thankfully not injuring anyone.
The man fired a shot through a glass panel. Luckily, no one was injured. The armed man then re-entered the premises and a scuffle ensued between the two before the man fled the scene.
It's one of two shootings in the city overnight, with a man being treated in hospital for two gunshot wounds to the back after an incident in Greenacre. Immigrants who come to Australia with poor English can earn up to a third less in wages than those who are fluent. New research also found the age of arrival is a major contributor to earning potential for immigrants. Those behind the study hope their research can lead to better outcomes for those who come to Australia. Sydney Swans legend Adam Goodes is considering a career in politics after he hangs up the boots. He's told The Telegraph he sees it as an option to make a difference to social issues such as racism and domestic violence. Goodes was voted 2014 Australian of the Year. In other news, the search for a missing six-year-old boy in the Murray River will resume in an hour. Severe fire danger warnings are in place for parts of Western Australia. And the number of people seeing in the new year from a cruise liner has rocketed. Now with sport, Danielle Pogson.
Australia will need some quick wickets when India resumes on 1 for 108 on the third day of the Boxing Day test at the MCG. The hosts knocked their way to 530 runs, with Steve Smith finding his third ton in as many tests. Mitch Marsh is the latest Australian cricketer to be ruled out of the series as he battles a hamstring injury. Former Australian quick Stuart Clarke has told Fox Sports it's not ideal ahead of the World Cup.
If you've got Clarke that's got a hamstring problem, Sean Marsh that's coming back from a couple of injuries, you start to worry that you've got a few guys that are injured or, you know, could break down at any stage.
Jacques Callis failed to impress for the Sydney Thunder in its 17-run loss to the Sixers in the Big Bash. Wildcats 11 has a 25 nautical mile lead as she embarks on the home stretch of the Sydney to Hobart. The Newcastle Jets will revise their game plan after suffering a 1-0 loss to victory at Amy Park. The Melbourne team left it late to get the win, forward Guy Finkler stepping up with a free kick in the 85th minute. Jets coach Phil Stubbins isn't ruling out bringing in some new players to help them up the table.
Can we enhance our group with maybe one or two quality players? We'll wait and see what happens with that, but certainly we'll be looking, yeah.
The Mariners and Brisbane have notched a point each after a 3-3 draw on the Central Coast. Round 12 continues in New Zealand today when Wellington Phoenix take on Western Sydney, and Crystal Palace is on the lookout for a new manager, with Tony Popovich a rumoured replacement. That's sport, I'm Danielle Pogson.
This is Macquarie National News. It's 7:04.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Cloudy today, the chance of showers. Tops of 24 on the coast, 25 in the west. Cloudy for Monday, sunny Tuesday. Possible showers New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. Right now in the city, it's 19 degrees. Humidity at 73. I'm Gemma Barth. That's the latest Macquarie National News.
Magic Millions is celebrating 30 years as one of the world's most successful yearling sales. Racing HQ and Racing HQ Saturday are happy to join the party.
Tell me how to get
Join Andrew Bensley Tuesday, January 6th through Saturday 10 as he brings you all the sales and racing news leading up to Saturday's multi-million dollar race day. Don't miss the colour and excitement of Magic Millions Week on the Gold Coast with Racing HQ and Racing HQ Saturday right here on Sky Sports Radio.
I'll be there in a heartbeat. This is huge. Harvey Norman half-yearly clearance super deals. Hottest prices across a huge range store-wide. All with a super deal. 60 months interest-free. That's zero interest and no deposit with monthly payments until December 2019. Approved applicants only. Minimum financed about $1,500. Interest applies if you do not comply with terms and conditions. Fees and exclusions apply. See website for details. Shop in-store or online now with 60 months interest-free. Harvey Norman half-yearly clearance super deals. Get set to save.
This station endorses the Commercial Radio Codes of Practice, which have been registered by the Australian Communications and Media Authority. The codes relate to taste and decency, accuracy and fairness in news and current affairs and advertising. Copies of the codes are available from Commercial Radio Australia. If you feel a code of practice has been breached, your complaint should be made in writing and directed to the manager, Sky Sports Radio, GPO Box 4168, Sydney 2001.
Are you looking to buy or sell a thoroughbred? Maybe a broodmare, tried racehorse, or even a yearling? Look no further than bloodstockauction.com, Australia's first 100% online auction. Horses go under the hammer from 7 p.m. the first and third Tuesday of every month. Catalogue available 5 days prior. Trading horses has never been easier. Log on and become a member today. Access to Bloodstock worldwide. bloodstockauction.com, delivering the sales ring to you.
Black Caviar, 15 group ones. She is out of this world.
There it is. Adam Scott, a life changer.
Talked it up. Malcheski, snap, and there's your grand final. Oh! There's your grand final.
Welcome to the weekend's biggest and best serve of sports and racing. On Sky Sports Radio, it's time for the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
And I hope you're having a great start to your Sunday morning. We've got all the sport covered here right up until 10 o'clock. We've got the test match down there at the MCG. Day three will continue today. And Steve Smith has settled very nicely into being captain of the Australian 11. Thank you very much. 192 yesterday. Absolutely outstanding performance from him. And, of course, from the Australian batsman as well. 530 they were dismissed for. India 1 for 108 in reply. We'll talk a lot about that this morning with Stuart Clark. We had the big local derby, the big bash, Sydney Sixers up against Sydney Thunder. And the Sixers, the boys from the East, prevailed again, unbeaten in their history by the Sydney Thunder, and that continued despite the presence of some stars there for the Sydney Thunder. And we've got just about a completion to the Rolex Sydney to Hobart. It was that boat again. Can you believe it? Wild Oats 11 is going for its eighth line honours. Absolutely incredible. We'll get an update of that throughout the course of the morning as well. But the first hour, of course, is our racing hour. We've got a number of special guests. And we've got our bloodstockauction.com feature interview with Jim Cassidy. Had a couple of winners yesterday. Had a great day at Canterbury, a standalone Saturday for Canterbury. Brenton Abdullah had two winners himself. And John Hawkes, he didn't have a winner at Canterbury, but he had a very impressive two-year-old colt win down there at Moonee Valley as well. So lots to get through in the first hour as well. And we do that with our the regular lineup. It's the great, the miracle man, Malcolm Johnson, and the racing editor of the Daily and Sunday Telegraphs, Ray Thomas. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Jimmy. Good morning, Mal. Good morning, everyone. Busy couple of days in Sydney racing with the Boxing Day meeting, and just over 10,000 turned up to Ramwick, which was really good. Yesterday at Canterbury, much smaller crowd, just over 3,000. But given the confines of Canterbury, it feels like a lot more. It was a great atmosphere, really good vibe, and some good racing on both days. Yesterday, we saw four jockeys ride doubles. They dominated: Brenton Abdullah, Hugh Bowman, Tommy Berry, and Jim Cassidy. Hugh Bowman's just on a winning wave at the moment, boys. Mm. He had a treble on Christmas Eve. He rode half the program, four winners on Boxing Day, Mal, and backed up yesterday with two more winners, both for Bjorn Baker. Chris Waller also trained a double. Gerald Ryan had two winners and two placings. Really good day's racing, boys. Overall, we saw some promising horses. The Canterbury Classic was just that, a terrific race, and it took a Jim Cassidy special to get up on Barbed. So a couple of promising horses, Mal. I think Perignon, the two-year-old of Gerald Ryan's, in the first. Super impressive win. And the effort of Eligify, I think it's a horse going places. And Bjorn Baker, whose stable was really on its own little streak of its own at the moment, produced another double. And Music Magnate, another great Hugh Bowman ride, but he's a promising horse, Music Magnate.
Yeah, you've just mentioned it was a day of doubles yesterday. There were doubles everywhere yesterday, and you forgot one horse, Headwater. How impressive was he? What a magnificent-looking horse. I only seen him on TV, but, wow, what a magnificent-looking horse. We're going to have Hawksy on later to talk about him, so that'll be very, very special. And, Ray, I know there's only 3,000 people there yesterday at Canterbury, but I love Canterbury.
It was good to break that routine. I don't know if you can go there too often, boys, because the bottom line is people do like the new grandstand, or I'll rephrase it, people go to that new grandstand at Randwick for the facilities. Canterbury, though, there was a good vibe there yesterday, Mal, because the crowd's in close to the action.
Yeah, they're very close to the action, and the track's not that far away, and you can get up close and... all the betting's undercover. I like Canterbury. It's just for mine, it's a race course.
Can I ask, is it important how many people go to the races?
I don't think so. Not racing, these days.
Yeah. You know, racing's a TV sport.
Revenue comes from different areas. Yeah. So does it really matter how many people turn up? If they're getting a fair surface, now they haven't had that at different stages at Royal Randwick, but if they're getting a fair surface, like you can get at Canterbury.
Which they got yesterday.
They certainly did get it. It's a beautiful surface track.
Well, racing's a TV sport, let's face it. Like a lot of sports these days, you're so well catered for on TV. But it's nothing like a day at the races for mine. I'm a bit old school now, a bit like you. I love a day at the track. And when there's a good crowd there, there was a definite vibe there yesterday, as there was at Randwick on Boxing Day, which was good to see.
We might get an understanding, speaking of racing being a TV sport, of the wash-up of the imbroglio between Sky Racing and TVN. It would seem that Racing New South Wales have split from their Victorian counterparts, and that they will be forming their own deal with Sky Racing. We presume Sky Racing, and we've got to remember that we are a radio station that's owned by Tabcorp, which owns Sky Racing, so we have vested interest there ourselves, but we might get you to explain that a little bit later on to the listeners. If anyone wanted to make comment on that, 1353 53 is the open line number. You can send an SMS in as well, 0419-SMS-BSB, that's 0419-767-272, and of course, the tweets will be going in and out today at Big Sports WEND, at Big Sports WEND. But the cover of the Punter from today's Sunday Telegraph is Hugh Little Beauty, talking about the great streak. You've compared him, Ray, to the streak that Steve Smith is on, the Australian cricket captain.
I was watching the races and the cricket yesterday at Canterbury, and they're both in terrific form. So
Four days. What a great day.
Yeah,
you sit on the lounge, watch the cricket, the start of the, and the races. It's just an Aussie day. It's a great day.
Hughie Bowman, 4 days, 3 meetings. 9 winners. So what you're saying is that on Boxing Day, most people in the country sit on the couch and watch the cricket. And Ray just said, I was working. He was here in the studio doing the radio show in the morning.
Yeah, you
and
know
then
what
he was
I
off
say.
Out to the races on that
office
afternoon.
You know what I say about Ray?
What's that?
Bad luck for Ray. That's about it, mate.
Fair enough, too.
You should have been sitting on the lounge watching the cricket, flicking over to the races and... watch the start of the race.
He can't help himself, though. He's the hardest working man in racing. We know that.
Bad luck for Ray.
So we're looking for callers to give us their hot streak. Hot streak will give them a Big Sports Breakfast TV cap.
They haven't come to fruition again, have they?
Give it a rest, you. So Hughie Bowman's on a massive streak. Steve Smith's on a massive streak. What are the hot streaks in racing?
I will send Steve Smith a hat, honestly. you're too good, Jimmy.
He'll be ecstatic, won't he? I want to go back to 1931 season. Yeah, 1930, Farlap.
See if we can go back a long way.
Right. So in the space of 15 days, Farlap, on the 25th of October 1930, he won the WS Cox Plate. Then he won the Melbourne Stakes on the 1st of November, the Melbourne Cup on the 4th of November, the Linlithgow Stakes on the 6th of November, and the CB Fisher Plate on the 8th of November. So five feature races in the space of 15 days.
Feature races. And don't forget... Probably our biggest.
Well, that's right. Cox Plate and Melbourne Cup.
All but, yeah.
Four of those during Cup Week. On the Saturday over the old 10 furlongs, 2,000 metres. Melbourne Cup on the Tuesday at 3,200 or 2 miles.
Yes.
Backed up on the Thursday in Lithgow, which is over a mile or 1,600 in those days. Then 2 days later, the CB Fisher played over what's now 2,500 metres, all in the space of a week.
And twice Second Wind ran second to the Great Farlap in the Melbourne Cup and the CB Fisher Plate.
Have you got one, Mel?
Yeah, probably myself in 1980. TJ and myself.
You're
the only one
shameless.
I can remember from.
You're shameless.
No, we had a phenomenal run.
Did we?
Yeah, Kingston Town was around. And, stop it, Jimmy. Well,
actually, you had a good carnival that year.
Really?
Ran with you won the Derby and the Cup on
I
the King.
I just said that, right?
Yeah. But what did you win? Can you reel them off?
I won the Oaks on Lowenstar. I won the Derby on the Kingston Town and the Summer Cup. I won the
Sydney Cup. Yeah.
Sydney Cup. I won the Doncaster on Ica.
And the QE.
And the QE, yeah. Yeah, that's
a
pretty good streak.
No, you had a good run, didn't you?
Yeah, I did have a good run.
That's fantastic. Raymond, have you got a streak you want to nominate?
I have. I've had a few, but I've settled on Rising Fast. Seven straight Saturdays during the 1954 Melbourne Spring Carnival. He reeled off wins in the Turnbull Stakes, Caulfield Cup, Cox Plate, McKinnon Stakes, Melbourne Cup, Fisher Plate. So not seven Saturdays, six Saturdays in a row, plus Melbourne Cup thrown in between.
Wow.
So, Turnbull, Caulfield Stakes, Caulfield Cup, Cox Plate, McKinnon, Melbourne Cup, Fisher
We would
Plate.
Never see that again.
Phenomenal.
Never.
Yeah.
Seven wins in 6 weeks.
Outstanding.
That is amazing.
So we're looking for the hot streaks today, 13:53:53. You can nominate your own like Malcolm did if you want. 0419, SMS, BSB, that's 0419, 767272. And of course, get us on the tweets at Big Sports WEND, at Big Sports WEND. A break, and then we're back with our BloodstockAuction.com feature interview with Jimmy Cassidy.
From Monday, January 5, a Sky Sports Radio Racing Day goes that extra mile. At 10 a.m, 7 days a week, catch TAB Sports Talk, giving you the latest in sports from around the world. And from 11, there's previews each day for thoroughbreds, harness and greyhound racing. Sky Sports Radio, your racing and sports leader.
This is what it feels like.
Did you back a winner on the weekend, John?
I didn't have a winner all day, and I still came out in front.
What do you mean, mate?
I had a five-leg place multi. I backed 3 seconds and two-thirds and got a collect.
You are too smart for me.
Add a little value to your multi today with a few fixed odds play selections. You can have up to five play selections in your multi across thoroughbreds, harness and greyhounds. Head to your local TAB or download the TAB app and have a crack at a fixed odds place multi today. Gamble responsibly.
Experience the excitement of four big EPL games with great events. Departing January 29, see Liverpool v West Ham, Chelsea and Everton, Mirle Yednak's Crystal Palace against Newcastle, and the big Spurs v Arsenal North London derby at White Hart Lane. Plus, Bayern Munich's Bundesliga clash with Hamburg in Munich. $9,350 per person twin share includes just about everything. Go to greatevents.com.au. That's greatevents.com.au.
The annual Big Sports Lunch has fast become one of the hottest tickets on the sporting calendar. Join TK and Slats, along with a host of your sporting favourites for 2015's event. It'll be a thoroughly entertaining afternoon. Friday, April 10 in the Big Top at Sydney's Luna Park. Tickets at $155 per person include two-course lunch and drinks. Why not get a group of workmates or friends together and book a table for 10? Don't miss out. Book now. 90337534.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Summer Edition, thanks to Coco Joy 100% Coconut Water, nature's own isotonic drink. Bring back the joy with Coco Joy.
Are you looking to buy or sell a thoroughbred, maybe a broodmare, a tried racehorse, or even a yearling? Look no further than bloodstockauction.com, Australia's first 100% online auction. Horses go under the hammer from 7 p.m. the first and third Tuesday of every month. Catalogue available 5 days prior. Trading horses has never been easier. No more unnecessary transport of valuable assets. With regular sales, there's no more waiting. Great idea, this.
This is a super idea.
Log on and become a member today. You member, Mal?
Yes, I am.
There you
go. It's free.
Anything for free.
Anything for free, I'll sign up, right?
Just, if there was a fee involved, would you be?
Only if it was minimal.
Right. Describe a minimal.
Five. Tenner. Maybe. Yeah, blue swimmer, maybe.
Okay. Log on and become a member today. In the words of the great miracle Malcolm Johnson, it's free. Access to Bloodstock across Australia and internationally. Bloodstockauction.com. Bloodstockauction.com, delivering the sales ring to you.
All of muscle around the turn at the 300 metres from That's a Good Idea. Barb needs an out, then Miniature Driefontaine and Dothraki. Ball of muscle, 150 metres to go. Still leads by a length from Barb, Miniature, Dothraki and Hart Tester. Ball of muscle at the 50. Dothraki and Barb thrusting. They go to the line. Barbed! Barbed has got up from Ball of muscle, Dothraki and Hart Tester. They were followed by Miniature.
Yeah, it was a fantastic effort from Barb, from John O'Shea and the Godolphin stable. John wasn't there, of course, but he must be very happy with the way the stable's going, Ray.
They are on a hot streak, Jimmy.
Yeah, speaking
flying,
of hot streaks, in the Canterbury Classic, $11 for Barb, just held off Ball of Muscle for Joe Pride, who was the favourite going into that. But it was another Jimmy Cassidy Classic, and he is our BloodstockAuction.com feature interview for this morning. G'day, Jimmy.
Boys, how's everybody?
Yeah, we're well. Congratulations on the couple of wins over what's been a busy period. We'll get to Boxing Day very shortly for you, but you've done well to put the what happened on Boxing Day away, Jim, and concentrate on these rides. And I guess Barb is a horse that is probably underachieved throughout the course of its career, but clearly has talent.
Yeah, look, he's a lovely individual. He put tremendous yesterday. He looked well, and he obviously ran accordingly, and it was a very good effort. John was very keen on him, and Darren prior to the race they were all very upbeat about his prospects. So it was nice to get the result for them.
Yeah, Jim, good morning. Compliments the season to you and the family, and a great day for you yesterday. And a little association forming with Godolphin too, Jim. You rode a winner on Cleanse earlier in the month. I think that was your first ride for John since he's moved across to Godolphin, and here you are getting a stakes winner as well.
Yeah, look, that was a great thrill. I had a good association with John through Keith Biggs and Rod Russell with Sea Siren and a few other runners. I had a good run with John there for a while, and the opportunity since he's taken over at Darley has been great. I've had two rides for two results, so it's always a pleasing way to start for a leading stable.
And I sense too, Jimmy, you probably got just as much satisfaction out of Magical Stance's win because, again, your long friendship and association with the great Ron Quinton, the trainer of Magical Stance.
Yeah, look, he's a great trainer, Ronnie, a great bloke, and probably one of the best jockeys I ever rode against. Mm. He's been a great part of my life and helping me, and give me a great thrill to win for him yesterday. I've got the utmost respect for Ronnie, and he's one of the great men of Australian racing as far as I'm concerned.
Well done yesterday, Pump.
Thanks, Miracle.
How you going? Everything all right?
Like one of your old specials pushing out, eh?
I noticed that, Pump. I was proud of you.
Thank you, mate.
Now, listen, I want to go back to Boxing Day. What about the elbow? What happened there?
Yeah, well, it was Boxing Day. You meant to be boxing.
Look,
it was something completely out of character for me. It was frustrating, and look, I had one laying all over me for a long time, and I got to a stage where I was more or less protecting myself for my safety, and something out of character, and I didn't think it was that vicious. I did lift my elbow, and look, it was just one of those little things that happened, and as I said, very out of character, and why they happened, I don't know, but it was unfortunate. I'm going to miss a month, and things were just starting to get on a roll with a few opportunities and that, but never mind.
Pump, it's hard to explain sometimes, because I did a similar thing many years ago. You know how sloppy Neville Voigt could be. He was laying all over me at the same track at Canterbury, actually, and we were fighting out a finish, and his elbow was in my lap, and I'll never forget it. I was
you
just
snapped,
that frustrated.
You snapped.
I pushed his elbow out of the way. You just can't do that. Mm. He still ended up beating me a neck. There was nothing in it. I was just frustrated because I couldn't get at my horse, and I did exactly the same thing, and I couldn't explain, Pumper, why I did it, because, it, as you say, it was so much out of character.
Yeah, well, it was. I've ridden for a long time, and it's something I've never done, but it was probably frustration, and I'd called to the rider on the outside, and as you know, Mal, the golden rule is you always look after the rider inside you, and
yes,
he was putting me in a very tricky situation where I was getting on one's heels, and look, as we say, that was it happened. We're under the bridge now, and I had to focus on yesterday, but I'm disappointed in myself that I've done it, and not something that I hope ever happens again.
I know you take your time off at different stages during the course of a year, and you make sure you get your breaks, Jim, and you're very, very diligent with your fitness and getting ready physically. Is this going to be a little bit of a bonus? I think you've got a trip planned during the course of this layoff, but are you finding a silver lining to this?
Yeah, look, when there's a minus, there's always a plus, and if there's a minus, you've got to turn it into a plus.
Mm.
I was just disappointed because I was looking forward to going to ride Strawberry Boy at the Magic Millions for John and Chris, and I had a few other nice rides up there, so I've still got another day to think about it, my appeal, and I'll discuss that today with my manager, Wayne Harrison, and just play it, see how it unfolds over the next few hours. But otherwise, it'd be nice to spend time with Mum and Dad and Vic and Piper. And, you know, as I say, where there's a minus, you've got to turn it into a plus and have that little break and get back and get focused and get back to where I want to be.
Jimmy, Canterbury yesterday, it was a rare for a Sydney Saturday mean to be at Canterbury. We're backing up after a good crowd turned up on the Boxing Day meeting at Randwick. Obviously a smaller crowd yesterday, but it was a good vibe, wasn't there, Jim? And
It was. Yeah. It was really good to see a good crowd on Boxing Day, obviously with all the holidays. But there was a good crowd. When you get the opportunity walking out onto the track, I had a bit of a sticky beat round, and there seemed to be a good mix of people at Randwick and also again yesterday. So there's nothing better than riding in front of a big crowd or any sporting arena, and it's nice to see the people coming back and enjoying it over this Christmas period, and I think it's great for all jockeys and for the race clubs and everything to have the people back out there. It's good to ride in front of them.
Mm. And as a rider, Jim, the Canterbury surface seems to be the fairest in Sydney, doesn't it, Jim? It does a lot of midweek racing, but there it was again yesterday. You could win from anywhere, and it must be a pleasure to ride on.
Look, it's a marvellous track. I've always said I think it's one of our best tracks. I do enjoy riding Rose Hill and Randwick, obviously, with the biggest circumference, but track-wise and footing for horses and cushion for their bumpers and things like that, it's a marvellous track. It takes a lot of work, and, you know, it'd be a shame to one day think that they could lose Canterbury. I hope they never do, because it's a track that'll be there for many years after I retire, and it's one of our best surfaces for horses, and we need that for trainers to be able to, you know, it's hard enough trying to patch them up, but when you get surfaces turned out like Canterbury was yesterday, and I must say even Rose Hill and Randwick raced a lot better on Boxing Day than it has for a long time, so hopefully the tracks can get back to what Canterbury was and what Rose Hill's been in the past, and it makes it a lot easier for trainers with horses.
Pumper, you just mentioned that word retire. I don't think you'll ever retire. You'll just keep going and going
He's riding as well as ever.
Yeah, he's riding as good as ever.
It just comes down to opportunities. I don't like, to say we all have our runs and ups and downs and in all walks of life, but you like to be able to be out there and competitive in the respect of quality rides. And, excuse me, if that dried up, well, you know, there's always, I'm thinking there's racing after life enjoyment, but I can tell you now, I'm loving what I'm doing, and the opportunities, obviously, from John O'Shea and Chris Waller, who's been a great supporter over a number of years, and I've got a few good owners that have got horses with Peter Snowden, and obviously Singo's support, so I can honestly tell you, I'm loving what I'm doing, I'm enjoying it, you have the ups and downs, but as I say, that's the way the cookie crumbles, isn't it?
I've never heard you say that before, Pump.
Jimmy, we're talking about hot streaks after one of your rivals, Huey Bowman, has been on a hot streak over the last 4 days, the three meetings where he's had the nine winners. Is there a period of time, Malcolm's already nominated a period of time during his career when he was on a hot streak, so we might as well get you to nominate a time. Do we go back to 1997 and Might and Power, the Caulfield Cup and the Melbourne Cup? Do you have another hot streak during the course of your career?
Oh, I think my hot streak's now. You know, what you've done is what you've done, but... you know, I'm riding well at the moment. The enthusiasm there, the killer instincts there. So as far as I'm concerned, at 51, I'm loving what I'm doing, the opportunities, and this is my hot streak. It's not going away, and it's only up to me to make sure it continues. And as I say, you've got to have support from owners and trainers and ride quality horses. I mean, to say you can win on some that are lift the odd one or two, but you've got to be riding horses that are in the market and... You know, this is my hot streak at the moment, and I just want to keep it going. And look, credit to Huey. He's a great bloke. He's a great jockey, and he's riding in great style. And he comes through from that Ronnie Quinton help, and he's very professional in what he does, Huey, and great competitor, good to ride against. We've got a lot of good jockeys in Sydney that are riding well, and it's a matter of opportunities.
Yeah, very competitive. That's right, answer, yeah. Very competitive. Well, Jim, congratulations on the two winners yesterday. Enjoy that bit of a break, and we appreciate you being our bloodstockauction.com feature interview this Sunday morning.
Clickety clack, boys. I'll be back.
Thanks, Jim.
Good on you.
Have a great new year, and I'll see you soon, boys.
Good on you, Jim.
Yeah, great to have him on the program. He gives his time up often on a Sunday morning, right?
No, he's fantastic. Jimmy was just talking about Huey Bowman's professionalism. I was talking to the jockeys' room attendance yesterday, and they said to a man, the most professional rider in the Sydney jockeys' room is Jim Cassidy. He's inevitably the first one there. He prepares. He's usually there 2 hours before the first race often now, and prepares so well. That's why he's still riding as well as he is at the moment, Jimmy. Just a quick one from Ray Murray. Heidman Willembar's off today, boys. They've had 152 millimetres of rain this... The track's underwater, effectively. Yeah, Willembar postponed.
Okay. And can I just pull you up on something, Malcolm, that you said during the course of that interview?
Of course you can.
You were talking about the time that Neville Voigt was laying in and you just pushed him away and you said it was so out of character.
Well,
you got suspended 56 times, mate.
Yeah, only once for that, though. Yeah, there was...
What the other 55 times for?
Well, that, interference, getting in someone's way. On that.
But just the one time.
Getting someone out of my way.
Okay.
Yeah, like...
Right. Completely out of character.
It was once. That's it. So stop pulling me up on things I shouldn't be pulled up on.
1353, the Aphelon number. Let's go now. We're looking for the hot streaks. This one via SMS too. Scott Seymour had a hot streak of Group 1s in the early 2000s.
Ethereal in the Caulfield and Melbourne Cups in 2001. He backed up with Callaway Gal in the 2002 Golden Slipper. He won a Derby and Epsom. He was for about 18 months there. He was Australia's number one Group 1 jockey, Scott Seymour.
Okay, there you go. Let's go to the open line, 1353 53. G'day, Sam.
Yeah, good morning, boys. How you going?
Really
morning,
well.
That's good. I just one quick word to Ray and also to Malcolm. When you're out at the Auburn Tennis Club, I showed you my form guide. Sam.
Yeah, that's Sam, right. Sam, how are you?
That was the day.
Never been better.
Sam, that was the day Ray's car got run into. Was that the
my
day?
Highlight of the year? Yeah.
Well, my streak. I know Farlap was a good streak, and so was Rising Fast. But I reckon I got the best.
All right,
Nina.
22 races in a row unbeaten in Sydney, Kingston Town.
Yeah, the great.
Yeah,
horse,
it's great effort. Yeah, my word. That's
fantastic. I went to every week. Kingston Town raced, I went.
Yeah. Good on you, Sam.
Right. I saw him a few times. He was great, wasn't he, Sam? It was
fabulous,
great to watch.
Fabulous.
How often were you on board the 22 times?
Each time. Yeah. Didn't matter. Trifectas, Cornellas, whatever you could get on.
You rode him all through that streak. Oh, Johnny Duggan rode him in the Gloaming Stakes, I think.
Yeah, I rode a horse
but
called
Malcolm
Spear.
Malcolm was fantastic.
Yeah.
What a nice fellow he is, too.
Good on you, Sam. Sam, you can come on this show any time you want.
God bless you. It's 6 o'clock.
God bless you, Sam.
Don't give management any idea, Sam.
Happy New Year, Sam.
Thank you.
That's a great nomination, Sam. Yeah. Well done. You're right in the running for that Big Sports Breakfast TV cap that we're going to send
22
out.
22 in a row. What a great one. About 4 years he was unbeaten in Sydney.
That's a great streak. Well done, Sam. G'day, Mark.
Oh, good morning. The best horse streak of all time has to be Black Caviar, doesn't it?
Yeah, 25 in a row. You know, our last eight races were Group 1 wins, boys, and that broke the record of Burnborough's seven straight Group 1 wins in 46. So we tend to forget that in light of her 25 consecutive wins, but in those last eight races, they were all Group 1 races. She's a remarkable mare.
Obviously includes Royal Ascot then.
That was part of that streak. No, that was prior to. Yeah, so her last eight. Oh, no, Royal Ascot, sorry, it was there, yep. The Diamond Jubilee was amongst that final eight races. So
Yeah,
she was a great
horse. Can't see it being beaten.
Yeah, hard to beat that one, Mark, I think.
Yeah. Good on you, Mark. Good nomination. We appreciate that. Let's stay on the open line. We're going to go to Craig. G'day, Craig.
Oh, good morning. Good
morning, Craig.
Malcolm, you may remember this. Rose Hill back in, I think it was the mid to late 80s, Jimmy Cassie rode, was either six or seven winners.
Six winners, yeah.
Six
out of eight, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's right, yeah. I thought I heard something on TVN yesterday or the day before that Cavallo, he wrote the program that, can't pronounce his name.
Anthony Cavallo.
The last race was called off or something.
Yeah, that race three was abandoned at Wellington on Boxing Day. And there was only a five-race program. I don't know why race three was abandoned, Mal. It must have been something to do with the start or something. But he won the other four races, Craig. So Anthony Cavallo can always say he rode the card.
The program. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I do remember that day at Rose Hill back in the late 80s or mid-80s?
Yeah, I think it was about 87. And I think, Mal, it was 1 year when TJ was trying to catch Brian Mayfield-Smith going to the last meeting of the year. You won the first five races straight.
Yeah, I did.
TJ. And he got to within one win of Brian Mayfield-Smith, and he won another race in the title was over.
Geez, you've got a good memory, Ray. Mm. Yeah, I rode five, I think, in a row.
First five races.
Yeah, and Kingston Town was one of those.
That's right, it was midwinter.
He was the third leg, yeah.
It was the final Saturday of the season, and TJ had to win, I think, six races or something to catch Brian. He won the first five.
Yeah, right.
And Mal rode them all.
Yeah. I never rode six winners. I rode five on four occasions. So.
Did you? Mm. There you go. Sam, Mark and Craig, great nominations there. Keep the calls coming. 13 53 53, the open line number. We'll take a break here on the Big Sports Breakfast weekend. And up next, we've still got John Hawkes and Brenton Avdullah.
Magic Millions is celebrating 30 years as one of the world's most successful yearling sales. Racing HQ and Racing HQ Saturday are happy to join the party. Tell me how to get back. Join Andrew Bensley Tuesday, January 6th through Saturday 10 as he brings you all the sales and racing news leading up to Saturday's multi-million dollar race day. Don't miss the colour and excitement of Magic Millions Week on the Gold Coast with Racing HQ and Racing HQ Saturday right here on Sky Sports Radio. I'll be there in a
heartbeat. Ever thought of working on the railway? Driving a loader, a crane or laying track? Mo here knows all about it.
Yep, if you want a career with a bit of adventure and good rewards in the rail industry, check out rizzy.com.au.
Rizzy?
Yep, stands for Rail Industry Safety Induction. Rizzy cards are issued by Transport for New South Wales. It's your first qualification, you have to have it.
Take a look at risi.com.au and get trained.
That's rizzy.com.au.
This is the Big Sports Breakfast Summer Edition, thanks to Coco Joy Coconut Milk in classic chocolate, coffee and banana without the dairy. Bring back the joy with Coco Joy.
Want to own a horse that races more often? With a trackside runner for 6 hours that races every 4 minutes. To enter, tell us your favourite time to play trackside and submit your winning trackside ticket details at tabtrackside.com.au and you could win big. Time for trackside. Visit your local tab today. Promotion ends January 19, 2015. Gamble responsibly.
If you're after a skid steer loader that leads the way in quality, reliability and durability, then Toyota Material Handling has the right solution for you. That's because for earth moving and excavating, the Toyota Husky skid steer loader leads the pack. From 320 to a massive 900 kilogram capacity, get the Husky skid steer loader from Toyota Material Handling. It's that top dog in the dirt. Call 1-800-425-438 or visit toyotaskidsteerloader.com.
It was a good nomination from Sam, wasn't it, about Kingston Town, the 22 wins in a row in Sydney. And as a result of that, we get an SMS in here. If you want to send an SMS, 0419-SMS-BSB, that's 0419-767-272. A little tip for Sam, don't hold your breath waiting for the cap.
Oh, no.
There's no name on that, but we've sorted out, we've got our system in place now.
The prize board's so, up and running.
There's a prize board. There's a booklet there that producer Jeremy's now showing me, the entry there. We haven't given it away yet this morning.
Sam's in the box seat.
Box seat at this point. Summertime, the perfect time to enjoy Coco Joy's range of all-natural coconut-based products. You tried this, Malcolm? Coco Joy?
No.
You know who they're the sleeve sponsor of?
Manly.
Correct.
Yes, they are.
Manly Seagulls, your team. Let me tell you, there's no better refresher than Coco Joy 100% coconut water. It's naturally sweet and chock full of goodness. There's no nasties like added sugar, preservatives or concentrates. Compared with the other typical sports drinks, it also contains higher levels of potassium.
Oh, that's good for you.
fewer calories. And
wow.
What about this, Malcolm? Less sodium.
Wow.
Which all assist with recovery after exercise. Great news if you're into your sport or always on the move. This would be good for you, right?
I need this stuff. Yeah, absolutely. I'm listening very intently here. So.
Coco Joy 100% coconut water is also dairy, gluten and soy free.
Okay.
This summer, bring back the joy with Coco Joy at a store near you or online at cocojoy.com.
Around the turn, with 300 metres to go, it's Fiery Redhead from Look to the Stars, racing to the middle of the track, and they were followed by Otter, who's four deep and two off the lead. Look to the Stars at the 200, grabbed by Racy. Otter, Joyful Passion back to the inside. Look to the Stars and Racy go together. 100 to go, and here's Perignon on the outside. Look to the Stars is fighting tenaciously, but Perignon's the sweeper. Perignon won the first from Look to the Stars, Racy and Joyful Passion. Then came Otter, Rambler Bay, Marco Man.
Yeah. It was Perignon, and it was the ride from Brenton Avdullah for Gerald Ryan. $3.90 Perignon in that two-year-old race, now headed towards the Magic Million too. Another schnitzel for Gerald Ryan.
Amazing, isn't it?
It is incredible. And, of course, the mare was Last Blaze. The rider, though, was Brenton Avdullah, who's been good enough to join us on the line. G'day, Brenton.
Morning, boys.
Congratulations on the win. A couple of wins yesterday, in fact, but another Gerald Ryan schnitzel. Progeny off to the Magic Millions, as we mentioned. She's got a bit of a different race pattern to what we've seen. Likes to come from the back. Is that naturally what she does, or is that just a particular to yesterday?
Yeah, look, she's probably just one of those fillies. It's not really one of the jump and run sort of horses, but she's a filly who I think, you know, the more we do with her and the further she goes, the better she'll be. So, look, Gerald's just sort of taking her. Probably just a little bit quicker, obviously, because she's Magic Millions qualified, so they just had to push her through the system a little bit quicker, but, you know, her ability was good enough to get her to the races and be able to win a race.
Good morning, Brenton, and compliments the season to you, and congratulations on the double yesterday. And just with this filly, Brenton, her racing pattern, we often tend to concentrate on the speedy two-year-olds in these big races like the Magic Millions, but she might be one who doesn't necessarily mix that formula, but could be the filly to beat, because one thing about her, Brenton, we know she's going to be strong late.
Yeah, and that's what we thought yesterday. We're confident, like six furlongs, you know, 1,200 is a big deal with these two-year-olds this early in the season, and we're always confident, you know, that she's going to be a filly that's going to appreciate sort of 1,400 or 1,600, that she would be strong at the end of the six furlongs. So, but she's not one of those usual jump-and-run two-year-olds. How, you know, early two-year-old races are probably won, but I find that, like I said to a couple of people yesterday, you find that the better class two-year-olds, you know, whether you're thinking of the Dolphins the other day and her yesterday, that if they're good enough, they can probably come from anywhere, and that's when you know they've got a bit of class about them.
It was a good point you made, because last week we saw Ottoman overcome difficulties and come from back in the field and win. She vaulted straight to the top of Golden Slipper betting, and Perignon's done similar things yesterday, Brenton, and now she's, if not the favourite, the second favourite for the Magic Millions.
Yeah, and look, now sort of I've been sort of established here with Gerald Stable for, you know, a couple of years now, and obviously I see a lot of two-year-olds go in and out of the joint. Just sort of picking up on the little things, and I find, yeah, that, look, I'm always learning there, and she's one that's just got through the system that, yeah, she's not your usual sort of jump-and-run two-year-old, but look, she's going to be going to Magic Millions, and you know she's going to be running an outstrain.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Brenton, your other morning, well done yesterday, mate. Your other winner yesterday, Peace Force, Brenton. Geez, her form's been very good.
She toughed it out, didn't she, Brenton?
Yeah, she did tough it out.
It's just amazing. Like, you know, you just get those little things in racing, and another one, I believe, you know, is mares in form, and it doesn't matter if they go up in class or what. It's amazing what a bit of confidence does to them. And,
well, she was under siege, wasn't she, Brenton? Mademoiselle, did she head you? Because Peace Force wouldn't lie down, would she, with the big weight?
definitely drew level with me. And I thought Huey thought he had me, you know, he had me on toast. But look, to my mare's credit, I had faith in her. I just kept riding her along, and I knew she'd have a dip for me. And look, she's just racing so well. She's thriving at Gerald Stables, and she was just having a job done. And she books herself a ticket to probably go 2 weeks for the stakes race at Gosford.
Perfectly rated was the quote from Shane O'Cass, and about that lead, Brenton. Are you one of these jockeys that has a timer in your head? And if you do, how do you practice that sort of thing? How do you make sure you're making good time?
Probably from a young age, I've always been educated. That's probably the biggest thing, one of the biggest things in racing and riding the horse and being a jockey. If you know how quick you're going, well, obviously it makes your job a lot easier.
Sure. So,
from a young age, I've always been educated, you know, from when I was an apprentice, but now it's just all, I do a lot of it on feel. I've got confidence in my own ability that, you know, if I'm going quick or if I'm going slow, and I suppose every horse is different. Some horses like cruising at a nice tempo, some probably need to have a soft time in front to be able to win. So every horse is different. I find Peaceful, she's probably not a natural, when I say her, I know she probably wasn't a natural sort of leader, but we got Force there one day where I probably had to take the initiative and she ran well and we haven't really looked back. She sort of found races that have lack speed, but I'm sure she'd just be as good chasing something. So I suppose, yeah, when you've got the confidence in yourself and when you're riding well, you can take that and use it and hopefully do the job.
And I think another horse you rode yesterday, Brenton, at almost a super day, you just missed out in the treble, was Ins and Outs. And, gee, he's a surefire coming winner, isn't he? It was a terrific effort and took a promising horse in Music Magnate just to nail you right in the last couple of bounds.
Yeah, he ran really well. He was super. Look, on paper, I thought that, you know, it would be us and Music Magnate probably be able to control the speed and make it a race for ourselves being 1-2. But the fly on the ointment was obviously Blake, and he missed the kick by 3 and probably whizzing up, which we probably didn't expect. And my Blake first up, Music Magnate with a couple of runs on it, so my Blake was vulnerable late, and just the other horse had a drop on us, and he was just too good for us late. But he's a really nice horse going forward, and I'm sure he'll be in the winner's circle in the near future.
Yeah, and just finally, Brenton, we had Jimmy Cassie on earlier, and I asked Jimmy too about riding at Canterbury on a Saturday. It was only a smallish crowd, but in that little confined area, it seems a lot bigger. It was a great vibe, and that came after a good day at Randwick when just over 10,000 attend the Boxing Day meeting. So as a jockey, it must give you a bit of extra spring in your step when you've got a good crowd and good racing, and particularly a good surface we had on both days.
It's always fine. It's great when you're riding on big days or just days where you get a bit of atmosphere.
Yeah.
I suppose, like, I always used to enjoy riding at Mooney Valley the night meet, and I still, my greatest memory was, you know, the days when Black Caviar was going around, and, you know, she filled up Mooney Valley.
She did,
come
yeah.
to Randwick, she filled up Randwick, and, when you ride in front of those big crowds, you know, you get a lot of buzz, and, I suppose the crowd yesterday was really good for Canterbury, because of a similar sort of atmosphere, and, and the day before at Randwick was really good, so I think Huey rode the four winners, and he got a bit excited coming back and won. And I said, mate, you just ran a benchmark winner. I said, it's no group one. He did, and his first thing was, it's just the atmosphere. And,
yeah.
And that's what it does. So, yeah, it's really good to be riding winners, and especially when the crowd gets involved.
Yeah, it's a busy time for the industry, and still getting good numbers out to the races and enthusiastic numbers, which is great as well. Brenton, congratulations on your form. Well done on the two winners yesterday. And best of luck into the new year.
Thanks a lot for having me, boys. All the best.
Thanks,
Brenton Abdullah there. A couple of winners there for Perignon and Peace Force. Well done to him. 1353-53 is the open line number. We're going to go to some callers there. We're looking at the streaks, that the hot streaks that people have been on, that horses have been on. Let's go to John. G'day, John.
How are you?
Really well, thanks.
Mate, you've been talking about jockeys and Bowman and all these killers of late.
Yes.
Well, I go right back to the doyens of racing, D. Munro and Billy Cook and all that era, Neville Selwood.
Yeah.
One thing I've noticed with Huey Bowman, these fellas are riding too short. Huey Bowman rides and he puts his feet right in the eyes and gets perfectly balanced. You cannot balance yourself with the way they're sitting on the horse. Now, when you watch them, they're all their balance is in the pair horse's mouth. They don't sit over the withers. Darby Munro would ride them into a cocked hat. Jack Thompson would just play him off a break at the start. Neville Selwood would play fiddly sticks with him down the straight. And if they get a bump, they're off. They're gone. They're over the top because they're not balanced.
Yeah, well,
I don't know who's teaching them how to ride, but half of them couldn't ride in a tram with a door shut.
Well, yeah, it's all about being fashionable these days. Huey is one of the last exponents of foot in the iron.
Might be a D-Beeman a lot.
And D-Beeman, D-Beeman is... Ron Quinton are the best two riders I've ever seen, I believe, and their foot is in the iron. Mm. Huey rides with his whole foot in the iron. He's a great horseman, and his balance is impeccable. Mm. And
for a tall man,
it goes a long way. Yeah,
for a tall jockey, he's.
And it's a very good point. Yeah, it is a very, very good point.
You teach him, don't you?
Yeah, well, I teach with the foot in the iron.
Right.
Because that's how I used to ride, and that's the only way I know how to ride. Ronnie's the same. Malcolm Fitzgerald, he teaches with the foot in the iron. But then they develop because it's more fashionable to put the toe in the iron.
Sure. Call us there, 1353 53. Just we'll take a break because we've got to get Johnny Hawks on the line and have a chat about this impressive colt, Headwater.
From Monday, January 5, a Sky Sports Radio racing day goes that extra mile. At 9 a.m, Racing HQ becomes a 60-minute extravaganza of the day's racing news. This is what it feels like. At 10, there's Tab Sports Talk. And from 11, don't miss previews for thoroughbred, harness and greyhound racing. Sky Sports Radio, your racing and sports leader.
Are you looking to buy or sell a thoroughbred? Maybe a broodmare, tried racehorse or even a yearling? Look no further than bloodstockauction.com, Australia's first 100% online auction. Horses go under the hammer from 7 p.m, the first and third Tuesday of every month. Catalogue available 5 days prior. Trading horses has never been easier. Log on and become a member today. Access to Bloodstock worldwide. Bloodstockauction.com, delivering the sales ring to you.
The annual Big Sports Lunch has fast become one of the hottest tickets on the sporting calendar. Join TK and Slats, along with a host of your sporting favourites for 2015's event. It'll be a thoroughly entertaining afternoon. Friday, April 10 in the Big Top at Sydney's Luna Park. Tickets at $155 per person include two-course lunch and drinks. Why not get a group of workmates or friends together and book a table for 10? Don't miss out. Book now. 90-33-7534.
Experience the excitement of four big EPL games with great events. Departing January 29, see Liverpool v West Ham, Chelsea and Everton, Mille Yednak's Crystal Palace against Newcastle, and the big Spurs v Arsenal North London derby at White Hart Lane. Plus, Bayern Munich's Bundesliga clash with Hamburg in Munich. $9,350 per person twin share includes just about everything. Go to greatevents.com.au. That's greatevents.com.au.
I want to let you on a bit of a secret. Stewie Clark just walked in and let us on a bit of a secret, didn't he? This summer's biggest hit with those in the know is Coco Joy's range of all-natural coconut-based products. In fact, the newest arrival to the family, the Coco Joy coconut milk. You had that? We had that during the week. Did you have that, Mel?
Yes.
You're reading the paper.
Yes.
You lied then, didn't you?
I wasn't listening to you.
You weren't listening, were you?
Sorry, Jim. Mate.
Well, it's already really popular with the tradies and the teens, apparently. Available in banana, coffee and classic chocolate. It's full of flavour, yet contains...
I was a coffee man, Jim.
You're a coffee man? Mm. Try the bananas. Banana's outstanding. I think we're going to get some more this week. No dairy, no gluten or no lactose. Coco Joy coconut milk really packs a punch. Then don't just take my word for it. Give it a try next time you're at your favourite store this summer. Bring back the joy with Coco Joy. Check out their range of products at cocojoy.com.
Lucky Fish quickens down before the bend at the 450. Headwater ambled up on his outside of Neckaway and is about to throw out the challenge. Haybar about to get around hill. Stoker starting to make ground, running into it. And Mr. Jagger outside of him. Headwater gave Lucky Fish the cold. Running on Stoker, wider out Mr. Jagger. Headwater in front. Stoker and Mr. Jagger trying hard. Headwater's pulling out sufficient, drawing away the last little bit. And the Exceed and Excel cold is all too good. Won it by 2.5 lengths to Stoker and Mr. Jagger. They were followed by Haybar.
Yeah, I think there was some excitement about this win. Headwater for Michael Wayne and John Hawks with Jason Winks on board. $1.45 it went around, but it won like a $1.45 shot too, which would have been very pleasing and impeccably bred. Exceed and Excel out of Riverdove, and we've got John Hawks on the line. G'day, John.
Morning, Jimmy.
Congratulations on that win. Very exciting for this yearling that was $500,000. But interesting to hear that Wayne said yesterday he ran in second gear. Do you think he was in second gear?
Yeah, he's a lovely colt, and he did what he had to do. So, but, you know, he's still learning. But anyway, we'll just take him along nice and quiet and see where we go. But he's a promising colt.
Yeah, John, good morning. Congratulations and compliments of the season to you and your family. John, has he pulled up well?
Yeah, he's fine, right? Yeah. He's come through quite good. He perhaps didn't have a hard run, which was great. Mm. You know, he's pretty professional and did everything right and come through really good. So, yeah, we'll give him a small break and we'll decide, you know, where we go and what we do so in the next week or so.
Knowing how you work your stables, John, I imagine this horse has already had a prep as well in Sydney, so he's probably gone in both directions.
Yeah, he has. Yeah, he knows, you know, what it's all about both ways. We do that with nearly all our young horses, you know, hoping that, you know, they're good enough to run in both places, and yeah, it's part of their education. It helps them mature and grow up a little bit, but he won't have any trouble Sydney way.
Mm-hmm. Hawksy, is he as good a sort in the flesh is what he looks on the TV?
Yeah, no, he's a lovely horse, man. He's got a great attitude and he's pretty laid back, I suppose you could say, for a sprinter type of colt. They're the ones you like, you know. Mm. They're speed horses, but at the same time, they're pretty relaxed. And when that horse went around him, he switched off, which was great.
Mate.
He didn't want to run through the bridle or anything, and that's really what you want, because horses that run through the bridle, well, they beat themselves. They might run really quick time, but it's down the track when you've got to run 1,200 or further, and naturally the quality, you know, goes up a lot. So, but it was a great experience for him yesterday, and he'll learn a lot from it.
Mate, he looked very, very professional yesterday, and normally when we've got Michael or Wayne on, you can get from their voice what they're thinking. With you, we can't, Hawksy. You don't give nothing away, mate, do you?
No. Mate, that's just how it is. You know, it's no good at getting too carried away. So, you know, I mean, that look, he's a very promising colt, but as I said, you know, he's still got a long ways to go to, you know, get to the top level, if as the saying goes. But, you know, he started off really, really well, and he's a well-bred colt.
So,
you know, he cost an X amount of dollars too, but not that makes him run fast. But, you know, it's a great way to start, you know, a young horse's career, you know, to win like that, and without, you know, having a gut buster. And as I said, you can't do any more than he did. And but as I said, they perhaps weren't what I call the A graders, but you've got to win well at that any level.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, but you know, who knows? You know what happens in the autumn. I mean, there will be quite a few nice horses, I would imagine, come out in the next 5 or 6 weeks, because, you know, it's not all that far before the, you know, the diamond and the slipper's not all that far away. So some of the better ones start to come out in the next 5 or 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. So, you know, hopefully he's one of the better ones.
Yeah. John, just on that point, the autumn is coming around quickly. Can we get a quick update on Deep Field and Chautauqua?
Yeah, Deep Field's, he's in pre-training up in Sydney, and Chautauqua's in pre-training in Melbourne, and they're both most probably a week or two away from coming to the stable, both of them, but they've spelled really well with their break, and, you know, they're looking forward to them coming back, you know, in the autumn.
Yeah. Has Royal Ascot come knocking for Deep Field, John?
No, I think they have, but, you know, I'm not too worried about at this point in time. Happy to race in Australia. I mean, overseas, really, especially England, there's not the money there, really. It's, I suppose, stallion potential does work for you both ways, but really, as I said, the money in Australia is, you know, second to none. And to travel halfway around the world, and, well, Zoustar nearly got there and something went wrong. And when you travel, a lot of things can go wrong. Travelling from Melbourne to Sydney, things can go wrong, so let alone going halfway around the world. But that's a good ways off, so we perhaps cross that bridge when we come to it.
Understand.
Can you give us an update, John, on Emirati, I think, in training, not far away from a start, is that right?
Well, Barry trial,
yeah, we give him a trial a little while back, then we give him a little breather again, and yeah, he's trial at Rose Hill in a couple of weeks' time. He's coming along really well. Different type of horse completely to this bloke. He's a fast-net rock, and he's just taken a lot more time, but yeah, we're patient with him, and really pleased how he's progressing, so all going well, a couple of weeks, you'll trial at Rosehill and then hopefully head to the races.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you've got a very good one in Headwater following that performance yesterday, and he's one of the punters I think will follow most definitely in the lead-up to the Blue Diamond and the Golden Slipper, if not the both of them. Appreciate your time on a Sunday morning, John.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks, John.
John Hawkes there. Raymond, we're just about done for time here again. Can you believe it? Just on that, Chautauqua is a $3.80 favourite at the moment. With the TJ Smith Stakes,
Deep Field's
price are up. Deep Field is at $6, third in the line of betting.
That'll be the race of the autumn, I reckon, this spring. Yeah.
Two to follow?
Ins and Outs will win very shortly, and Headwater. I know it's the obvious, but that was a very impressive two-year-old debut.
Yeah.
What about our cap giveaway? Who do we give it to?
Sam.
Sam, he was odds on favourite.
He was
Headwater
odds. Yeah.
Sam was $1.40. There you go. Good on you, Sam. Congratulations. Yeah, we'll send that out probably by about March.
Happy New Year to all our listeners, too,
happy
by
New
the
Year,
way.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Yeah, well said. Up. Yeah, thanks, gents. Thank you, happy New Year to everyone. You. Stick around, though. Stewie Clark coming up after 8 o'clock.